Chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Last week I had mentioned praying for Haley and I and Kennedy as we flew to Texas and back, and I appreciate your prayers. We could tell that they were there because Kennedy was very good on both flights. Well, on the flight back she had a little bit of trouble, but both flights she did pretty good. So we appreciate all of your prayers and for thinking about us. So Luke chapter 15, and once you get over there, I'll give you a second, we'll start reading in verse 11. What I want to talk to you about tonight is a very familiar story, and it's about the prodigal son. But whenever we read through the story of the prodigal son, I notice that there's a lot of different characters that are being talked about. We see, of course, the main person, the prodigal son, and then we also notice that he had a father, and then we notice the older brother. So we're going to dive into this chapter a little bit and kind of break it down and look into each person's life and kind of see where they were at. So let's go ahead and start Luke chapter 15, and we'll start in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put on a ring on and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him for the fatted calf, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So let's go ahead and pray real quick, and then we'll get into the message. Lord, thank you for this day. I ask that you would just help me, Lord, as I preach. Help me to say the things that you'd have me to say, Lord. Help me to be able to give the message clearly, Lord, and to be able to honor you. In your name I pray, amen. So we see here, first off, the first person I want to look at is the prodigal son, okay? He's probably the most well-known person in this story. And the first thing I want to notice is verses 11 through 13. It says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So we see here that the prodigal son came to his dad and said, hey, I want my inheritance. I want what is rightfully mine. Go ahead and just give it to me so that way I can go and do what I want to do. Apparently, the prodigal son was tired of living with his dad. He was tired of following his rules, and he wanted to go out, and he wanted to do what he wanted to do. Well, we know that the prodigal son made the wrong decision. The prodigal son got to a place in his life where he no longer really cared for his family. He no longer really cared for the things that were right, and he decided that he wanted to make a U-turn in his life and go another direction. And so many times in our lives, we can do that. We can be on the right path, and it's easy to fall off. Whenever I was thinking about this lesson, most of the time we associate the prodigal son with the younger person. But whenever I thought about it, at any age, we can fall off the wagon. At any age, it's easy to veer off of the right path that God has for us and to start taking a different route. it's easy for us to get caught up in the things of life and to take the route of the prodigal son. And we might not go off the edge like the prodigal son did. We might not go all the way as far as he did. But we can get off far enough to where we're no longer there with our Heavenly Father. We can get off the path to where we're no longer following what he has for us. And we can say, hey, give me my inheritance. You help me out, but I'm going to take off now. I'm going to go do the things that I want to do. And so whenever I look at the prodigal son here, he had something wrong with his heart. He had something wrong inside of him that caused him to say, you know what? I don't need the things of my father anymore. I don't need his protection. I don't need his care. I don't need to live in his house anymore. I can go out and I can do this on my own. And we need to not have the attitude of the prodigal son. What the prodigal son did was he hurt his own self by thinking that he needed other things in his life. And in our life, sometimes God lays everything out for us. He says, here, I want to take care of you. I want to provide for you. I want you to be in my fold. But so many times we wander off and we get outside of the fold, right? We know the story about the 99 sheep and the one lost one. We end up leaving the place that we're taken care of. We end up going away from the fold. We end up going to a place that's dangerous in our lives, and God's waiting for us. He's saying, hey, I'm over here. I'm here to give you safety. I'm here to give you protection. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you all these things. But we end up wandering away. And in our lives, sometimes we think, well, that won't be me. I won't wander away. I won't get away from God. But it can happen to anybody at any age. It doesn't matter. It doesn't discriminate. And in our lives, we have to be so careful not to follow the path of the prodigal son. And one thing that I noticed about the prodigal son's life was that he wanted something that was good. The inheritance was his, correct? But what he wanted wasn't in the right timing. And whenever I was thinking about this message, I was thinking, okay, he wanted his inheritance, which wasn't a bad thing, but he wanted the inheritance at the wrong time and ended up messing his life up. And for the young people, sometimes in our life, we want things that are good. We want things that God wants us to have eventually, but we want them at the wrong time. And whenever we put those things in the wrong order and we get those things out of whack, it's not going to bring anything good. What the prodigal son wanted was good. His inheritance was a good thing, but he got it at the wrong time in his life, and it ended up throwing him off track. It ended up taking him places that he didn't want to go. Boyfriends, girlfriends, they're good, okay? But sometimes in our life, we get them at the wrong time, and they can end up dragging us off track. They can end up throwing us off where we need to be. A job is a good thing, but I've seen so many teenagers, especially whenever I was a teenager, get a job, which was a good thing, but they got the wrong kind of job, and it pulled them completely out of church, and it took them the wrong direction. So in your life, before you make a decision, ask God, hey, I know this is a good thing, but is it the right timing? Is this what you want me to have right now? Is this what I need in my life? Because a lot of times in our life, we want things that are good, but the timing is off on it. And God's timing is perfect. And if we wait on what God has for us, it's going to be great. But if we try to force God's hand and say, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, eventually he might just give it to us, and it's not going to be the best it could have been. It's not going to ultimately be what exactly we wanted. So wait for God's timing in your life. And also another thing that I noticed about the prodigal son was that, like I said, any age you can be a prodigal, okay? And I've seen personally in my life people who, I'll go back to my old church and I'll say, hey, where's this person at? And I'll expect them to still be there because they're older, and they're not there. Why is that? It's because in our lives, the devil can creep in at any moment. The devil can get a stronghold in our life. It doesn't matter what age we are. He can always come in, and he can try to mess things up. We're never safe from the devil's tactics. That's why it's important for us to keep our Christian walk with God strong from whenever we're little until it's time for us to go home to be with the Lord. Because whenever we let up, whenever we let our guard down, whenever we're not protecting ourselves or watching out for ourselves, is the time that the devil's going to come in there and say, hey, do this, do that, fall off track. And it's so easy in our lives sometimes for us to become the prodigal son. So we can't think, well, that can't happen to me, because it could happen to anyone. So the second person that I noticed is the father. So let's start in verse 17. It says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So we see here that the father, he was waiting for his son to come back. He was wanting his son to come back to his life. And sometimes in our lives, we might not be the prodigal, but we might have prodigals in our life. And those are people that we need to pray for. Those are people that we have to be concerned for. Those are people that we need to try to bring back into the fold. But so many times in our life, sometimes we can shun the prodigal. And this is something that the father didn't do. And I'll get more into that in the third point. But in our life, sometimes we're going to have prodigals that come through. And it's going to break our hearts. It's going to hurt us. It's going to be things that tear us apart. And in our lives, we have to stay faithful and say, you know what? I know that whoever it is in my life might be out there and not in the right spot. I know that they're away from God right now. But we know that ultimately God has the power to bring anyone back to him. He can bring anyone back into the fold. And it's going to take something on their part, and then God can work on people's hearts, okay? And we have to be waiting, and we have to be patient for the prodigal. The prodigal is not always going to come back in our timing. I'm sure that the father was hoping that the son was going to come back that day, that he would return to him and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Sometimes the prodigal could be gone for a week, a month, a year, 2 years, 10 years. We don't know. But pray for the prodigals that are in our lives. We all know prodigals, okay? We all know people that have kind of fallen off to the wayside, that have gone off track, and it hurts our hearts. And we worry for them, and we're concerned for them. But don't cast the prodigal out. Make sure that you continue to pray for them. Make sure that you continue to think about them. Keep them on your mind and on your heart. Because showing care for the prodigal is going to be something that helps bring them back. Loving the prodigal is going to be something that helps bring them back. And we have to remember, too, that at least one point in our lives, we were probably prodigals, okay? And like I said, being a prodigal isn't always someone just going out and doing the craziest stuff. I remember being a teenager in church, and I remember going through all the motions, and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, youth group, doing everything. But I remember I wasn't as close to God as I could have been. I wasn't doing crazy stuff, but you could say I was a prodigal because I wasn't where I needed to be in my life. I was there in body, but I wasn't there in spirit. And in our lives, it's so easy for us to fall off course, and it's so easy for us to look at the prodigal and to be mean to them or look down on them. But we have to bring the prodigals back in, okay? We have to love them. We have to care for them, think about them, pray for them, because we all have prodigals in our life. And hopefully, Lord willing, they come back to God. They come back to what is right. But we have to keep praying for them, and we have to keep being concerned for them. And then this point kind of meshes into point number 3. I noticed the older brother, okay? We'll read verses 25 through 32. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and hast killed for him the fatted calf, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. So we see that his older brother didn't want anything to do with it. His older brother was upset that him as the younger brother would go and say, give me my inheritance, give me what is mine, and leave. He was upset that he would stay back home and do the things that he was supposed to do, and then his dad not reward him at that time. And whenever the younger son came back, the prodigal son came back, we see that the older brother was not happy. And in our lives, whenever prodigals come back into the church, we can't have the attitude of the older brother. This week in Texas, I was talking to someone that has gone off to the wayside, okay? And now they're starting to get back in church. Just in the last couple weeks, they started going back to church, back at my home church in Texas. And this person, I was talking to them, and they were just telling me a little bit about, like, what has happened recently and stuff like that. And they were relaying to me something that someone had told them in the church. And they went and talked to this person, and the person said, hey, I'm glad that you came and talked to me, because I wasn't going to approach you. I wanted you to come talk to me. And whenever they said that, I thought, wait, is that really the attitude that God wants us to have? Does he want us to be sitting off in the corner, and whenever we see someone come in that hasn't been to church in a year, look at them and say, you know what, I'm not going to go talk to them. They need to come talk to me. That's not the kind of attitude that God wants us to have. Whenever I heard that, I was appalled that someone would have that kind of attitude. God wants us to receive people with open arms, okay? If someone is making the effort to come back into church, he wants us to receive them. The Bible talks about restoring people. It's our job to restore people that have fallen off to the wayside. It's our job to take those people back in under our wing and help them any way we can. It's our responsibility to nurture them and to bring them back up in the faith. But so many times in our Christian lives, we get this attitude of, well, they left, so I don't want anything to do with them anymore. They left my church, so I'm just not happy with them. Or this and that. We come up with all these different excuses to judge people who have left, and then whenever they try to come back, we don't want them back. Well, why were we mad at them in the first place if we didn't want them to come back again? You know what I mean? And in our lives, we can't have the attitude of the older brother. But the sad thing is that the attitude of the older brother is something that permeates our churches around America. The older brother's attitude is something that a lot of people have, and they look down at people who decide that, you know, I'm going to come back to church. And whenever they come back to church, they might not look the same. They might not be exactly the same. And I was talking to this person, and I told him, hey, it doesn't matter to me what you did, because you have to deal with God about that. Whatever you've done, wherever you went, that's none of my concern. I'm glad that you're getting back in church, and you need to get more involved in stuff. You know, do what you need to do to get back and closer to God. But where you've been, the things that you, sins that you committed, all that stuff, that's none of my business. That's between you and God. So don't allow the people there that might be discouraging you, like I talked about last week. And I told this person that I was talking to about my message last week, about the giants and stuff in our lives that try to speak to us. And I told them, there's going to be people in our lives that are going to try to discourage you. You're trying to make a good decision to come back in the church. And this giant is someone that's in your church that's trying to discourage you. And in our lives, we can't have this attitude like the older brother. And sometimes it's really easy for us to do, to be pharisaical and to look out. I've been there before. Someone leaves and you think, yeah, they left because they weren't a good Christian, or their faith wasn't strong. They didn't have a good foundation. And then whenever they come back, you kind of look at them with a side eye and say, they have a tattoo now, or they have this, or they have that, or I know where they were at. I saw on their Instagram that they were doing this or that. We look at them and we make all these judgments and all these assumptions whenever God just says, hey, if they're coming back, restore them. If they're making an effort to be back in church and get closer to me, help them out. And then whenever I was talking to this person, I was thinking of all the Bible stories where Jesus went out and he helped people. The woman at the well, he didn't say, oh, I'm going to wait for her to come to me. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. He went out, he found her, and he restored her. He reached her. So many different people in the Bible where Jesus did not have the attitude of the older brother. You know who he had the attitude of? Of the Father. He took people and he restored them. Jesus' whole ministry was about fixing people and healing people. And the church is basically a hospital. People don't come to church because they're perfect. We come to church because we're all broken people and we need a place to be fixed. We need a place to be healed. We need a place to get stronger and better as Christians. And in our lives, it's not our responsibility to judge the people who come through the doors. It's not our responsibility to look down on them whenever we see that they've returned. It's our responsibility to bring them back in and say, what can I do to help you? How can I help build you? How can I help grow you as a Christian? What can I do to be of help to you? So in our lives, we need to make sure that we don't have the attitude of the older brother. So the first person we talked about was the prodigal son, okay? We have to be cautious in our lives that we do not take the prodigal son's route, because any one of us are susceptible to falling off. We have to make sure that we stay close to God. We have to make sure that we keep a good relationship with him. Secondly, we notice the attitude of the father, okay? The father's attitude is the one that we should have. The father took the son back in, no questions asked. He restored him, helped him out, and he had the right type of mentality about it. He had the right attitude about it. And then thirdly, we notice the older brother, whose attitude we should not have. The older brother didn't really care about his younger brother. He was upset and he was not happy about all the things that had transpired while he was gone and after he had come back. In our lives, we don't need to worry about that. The father was going to handle the judgment, right? If he was going to hand out judgment, that was his job. And in our lives, it's the same exact thing. God will take care of what other people have done. God will handle their sins. It's our job to bring them in and to restore them and to help them out. So whenever you think about this, remember, don't be the prodigal. Make sure that you have the attitude of the father and don't have the mindset and the attitude of the older brother. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you.